This Choose This Day presentation will be talking about world history, even before it came to pass. This is what's called prophecy. If you'd like to follow along in the notes, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com. You can find a link in the description below. The Bible has accurately prophesied the succession of empires, past and present. Jesus' own life was identified by prophecy. You could see that he foretold some of the events that would occur in his life in John 14, verse 29. Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Now 2 Timothy 3:16 mentions that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it would do well for us to understand what the scripture says about nations. There's a dream that occurred in Daniel chapter 2. We can read about it in verses 1 through 3. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled. You can fill in the blanks there with dreams and troubled. And his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, all the worldly wise men, for to shew the king his dream. That means show him personally. So they came and stood before the king. So as you read on in this story, chapter 2, verses 4 through 49, we will see that the king's men were unable to interpret the dream. The king decreed that all the wise men, including Daniel, which was one of the faithful Hebrews, that they would all be killed. So what happens is Daniel requests a little time. Daniel and his friends go and spend time in prayer asking God for mercy to reveal the dream and its interpretation to them. And so later, in verse 28, Daniel says to the king, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days." So what's happening is God gave a dream to a king to be interpreted by one of God's faithful stewards here on the earth, so that not only the king, but us today would be able to understand the history and the prophecies of our nations, whereas we will be able to know just where we are in this earth's history. God is incredible, and I'm so thankful that he has revealed to us the prophecies in his word. Notice verse 31. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible." Now you'll see that Daniel repeats the dream to the king, the dream that the king couldn't even remember. But of course, you know that if it's revealed to you something you can't remember, you're like, yes, that was it, that was it. So the king must have been quite excited at this point. So Daniel relates the dream of an image that's made of several different types of materials. Look what happens in verse 32 through 35. "The image's head was of fine gold," you can fill in gold, "his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, and his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay." So you can see the various materials that God used to illustrate this image. "Thou sawest, till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and there was no place found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." I'm sure the king was amazed at this point. But Daniel now goes into the interpretation, having just related the dream. He says in verse 38, "Thou art this head of gold." So Daniel is actually interpreting to the king that he represents the head of gold of this image. Now, you'll notice as you continue on in the scripture that the head of gold is the kingdom, not the king necessarily. So the king was pointed out as representing the head of gold, representing his kingdom. And so in verse 39, "After thee shall arise another kingdom, one that's inferior," just like silver is inferior to gold. "And another third kingdom of brass." Notice brass is inferior to silver, "which shall bear rule over all the earth." And that's the clarification that's made there, is these kingdoms rule over all the earth. It continues on. "The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron," even a lesser metal, "though stronger. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, which is the iron kingdom. But there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So you can see here that in symbols, God was able, through his servant on the earth, able to reveal to the king that there would be kingdoms that would come, and there would be a time where the head of gold would rule, and another time where an inferior kingdom of silver would rule, and then finally another kingdom inferior made of brass, and then iron and clay with a division. So what happens is Babylon is described as the head of gold. That's from the years 612 to 539 BC. Then you can see another inferior kingdom, that which was of the chest and arms of brass. It came up as Medo-Persia from 539 to 331 BC. And then after, another world-ruling kingdom was Greece, represented, of course, by the belly and thighs of brass. And it was from 331 to 168 BC. Then finally, Rome comes in. And Rome, we know, was the kingdom that was during the time that Christ was on the earth. So Rome was represented by the legs of iron. From 168 BC in through 476 AD, we know that that was the time, as I said earlier, that Christ was on the earth. The divided empire occurred after with the feet of iron and clay, and since then, no single power has ruled the world since 476. We know that the Bible has made it clear that we have Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and then the divisions of Rome, and no kingdoms coming together to cleave one to another after that. So let's find out a little further in Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 through 45. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to you, O king, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So what's incredible about this is that we have the opportunity to know from the Bible that there would be certain kingdoms that would rule the world. There would be a succession of those kingdoms. They would overtake each other, and then finally a division in the final kingdom, which would tell us where we are in earth history. We know that the final universal kingdom will be the kingdom of heaven set up by God himself, and that's the kingdom we want to be part of. So notice what the Bible says in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, which is the kingdom filling the whole earth. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So we're looking for that kingdom, when Christ is able to sit upon the throne of his glory, and only those who are willing subjects of a kingdom of righteousness will be allowed, and we will be blessed throughout all eternity. I am so thankful that God has revealed these things to us, and that we have a fundamental principle, number 7, that says that the world's history from specified dates in the past, the rise and fall of empires and the chronological succession of events down to the setting up of God's everlasting kingdom are outlined in numerous great chains of prophecy, and that these prophecies are now all fulfilled except for the closing scenes. Believe you me, I have done a lot of study in the prophecies, and it is true what this principle is saying, this Bible principle, that we have very few prophecies that will actually need to occur before Christ comes. We're talking about some of them being the mark of the beast, the seal of God, and some other very major events like the second coming of Christ that will occur not too far in the future. Continue to study with me as we learn and grow at revelationwithdaniel.com.